You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll hear about a new initiative at a Wisconsin university that allows veterans to use their military experience to get credits for information technology degrees.
First, Governor Scott Walker signed Senate Bill 459 into law yesterday. The legislation changes regulations for wetlands and waterfront property.
We'll hear from an advocacy group shortly about the concerns they have about this legislation. But first, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief, Sean Johnson, joins us to tell us about what is and is not in the newly signed law. Sean, it's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Sean, walk us through what's changing with this new bill, otherwise known as Senate Bill 459.
So there was a lot that went into this bill when it was first introduced, and a lot having to do with wetlands and with boathouses was another topic that kept coming up in this bill. I think broadly speaking, it shifts the balance from regulators and scientists at the DNR when it comes to wetland issues to private property owners. And so it was introduced as part of what was deemed a private property package by Republican lawmakers at the time. And so, you know, for example, when it comes to boathouses, people that have those wouldn't have to, seek permits every time they want to repair the boathouse. When it comes to dredging artificial bodies of water that don't connect with like a natural lake or stream, people would have more power to do that. And it would really limit the Department of Natural Resources' power to step in and stop construction of single-family homes or expansions of barns when it comes to, projects that are on or near wetlands.
And I understand that piers are part of this whole picture as well.
Anything that, when you start to talk about construction on private property and adjacent to, navigable waters, there's a lot in this bill.
And Governor Walker tweeted some thoughts about this one recently. He said, and here's a quote from his tweet, "Property owners should be able to improve and enjoy their property in a reasonable manner without unclear and overbearing regulations." So what kinds of things was he referring to when he said unclear and overbearing in terms of regulations?
I think you probably hear the governor use those words a lot when he refers to regulation. And so, that dovetails with this whole idea that what they were doing was aimed at improving the rights of private property owners. I think if you look at the package as a whole, especially as it was introduced, it is something that caught a pretty broad array of environmental groups. Made them pretty unhappy, especially with what it said initially when it comes to dredging a natural lake bed.
And what did it say?
Well, and I guess in those cases, it gave property owners a lot more power over what has always been viewed as public waters in Wisconsin. So, we have in Wisconsin and in other states this public trust doctrine that says that the lakes and the streams, the state's navigable waters shall be common highways and forever free. It's very lofty language, but it essentially says that those lakes and those streams belong to everyone. And when it came to lakes for adjacent landowners, it was going to give those landowners much more power to dredge without having to go through a rigorous review by a DNR scientist. And so that would have been a huge change. It was taken out by Republicans in the state Senate who were a little uneasy with it, namely Senator Robert Coles of Green Bay. And so that was the most controversial provision. It was taken out, but in the end, you still have a bill that makes a number of changes with how the state treats wetlands and, structures along waters.
We'll talk more about this with our next guest, but what does dredging do and why would a property owner want to dredge?
A property owner might want to dredge because it's harder to get a boat through. It's not as much fun for them to swim. You know, I think the stories you heard from property owners who said that they wanted to do this were what was that, the lake home that they vacationed at when they were kids just wasn't the same anymore, that they used to be able to swim there, they used to be able to enjoy it, and they can't anymore. And so they wanted the power to be able to dredge that up. Environmental groups said, hold on a second, when you're talking about lakes, it's a lot different than water in a river, and the ecosystems are far more fragile, and you might damage a lot of fish habitat. And so, those concerns ultimately won the day in the legislature.
And Sean, another aspect of this that we haven't touched on yet, stormwater ponds. What was called for there?
So stormwater ponds was, I think that's the part that is, you know, I'm not familiar with that part. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it there and we'll go to our next guest. Sean, thank you so much
Sorry
for joining
that.
Us to share with us. That was Sean Johnson, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief. And we turned on to Erin O'Brien. She is the Policy Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. Erin, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, Erin, what was your first response to these new provisions in the law?
Well, like many organizations, we were very concerned about what was proposed. And, of course, as Sean did a great job describing, this is a fairly large package with a lot of different provisions, and a number of them specifically addressed protections for wetlands, which is, of course, our organization's primary concern.
And in terms of what is and is not, what ended up in the final form of the bill, what occurs to you? What issues do you have with it?
Well, first I'll say we were really pleased to see the provisions that Sean mentioned related to dredging of nearshore habitats removed, because that one had really widespread implications for lakes and the many, many wetlands that that are in those nearshore environments. So what remained were some provisions that unfortunately still make it easier for landowners to get permission to develop in wetlands. And the concerns are many, certainly ecological concerns, but the way this bill is characterized as something that's a benefit to landowners is really two-sided, because these provisions, in fact, could be detrimental to landowners, because it encourages a kind of development without good planning that could cause them to develop in ways that cause them or other landowners or members of their community problems later on.
What kinds of water-adjacent development are you concerned about with the new bill?
Well, first, I guess let me say this. You know, one of the reasons we traditionally have laws that don't allow unfettered development in privately owned wetlands is because these wetlands provide many public benefits. And what this law addresses, this new law, is really looking at smaller projects on lands that are privately owned and improvements, or I should say development activities that that are wanted or desired by that private landowner, so a homeowner or a small business. Unfortunately, you know, building in wetlands can put people, property, and public infrastructure at risk, and it also has implications for our lakes, rivers, and streams that are downstream from those areas. And the reason is because that wetlands form on the landscape where there is a need to manage water. So wetlands help help regulate the movement of that water, and they also help that water be clean. So when we start developing in wetlands, we like to describe it, it's kind of like that game whack-a-mole. You know, we know how to find ways to build on areas where the land is wet or tends to be wet. Those are the wetlands. But that water still needs someplace else to go. So what happens is that, you know, the impacts or the consequences of that, they may not be felt by that individual landowner. They've gotten something that works for them, ideally, although, again, they may end up with a sump pump or some flooding or structural problems because that land still wants to be wet. But in addition to that, the impacts tend to be felt cumulatively to downstream landowners and downstream communities, and that's because when we start to fill wetlands here and wetlands there across the landscape, the result is that we have too much water displaced, so moving very quickly downstream, ending up in the wrong places and causing problems like flooding or erosion and soil loss along the way. And those are problems that can be both expensive for landowners and communities and also dangerous to public safety and infrastructure.
And Erin, as we wrap up, we mentioned earlier that Governor Walker had tweeted that the bills would remedy what he sees as unclear and overbearing regulations on property owners. Do you agree with that assessment? Was there some need to clarify existing law about this sort of situation?
Well, it's always a good idea to try to help make our laws more understandable to the regulated community, including private landowners. But that's there's a difference between doing that and changing the law or weakening the law. So in fact, from our perspective, we think that the changes that are going into effect are making the law less clear. And one of the reasons for that is because it's the latest in a series of policy changes that make the requirements we have in Wisconsin law different from and weaker than requirements for wetland protection under federal law. So it's getting more difficult for landowners to understand what's expected of them. That can have a lot of problems, including leading to unexpected violations. It's also going to result in a disproportionate impact on certain kinds of wetlands, specifically Wisconsin's isolated wetlands, which are some of our most important and vulnerable wetlands in the state.
Erin, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Erin O'Brien is the policy director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. She joined us there for a look at bills that signed into law that will be giving property owners more power to develop waterfront lands.